Right, well, good evening. I'd like to welcome you here to the LSE this evening. My name's Tony Travers, and I'm here in my capacity as a co-director of the Cities Programme. And our main reason for being here this evening is to welcome Oriol Bohigas, who is our speaker here tonight, in this lecture which has been sponsored jointly by the LSE Cities Programme and the Royal Academy of Arts, for whom, or to whom we must express many thanks. We are enormously lucky to have here tonight Oriol Bohigas as our speaker in this series of lectures where we've been able to bring some of the world's most distinguished architects here into the school to talk about their visions for particular cities or for indeed for cities and urbanism more generally. I'll say little more than to introduce our speaker. Oriol Bohigas is principal of MBM Architects and the former city architect of Barcelona. He's an experienced architect and urban designer whose work has transformed the city of Barcelona, and in particular, he was responsible for the master plan which turned a large, redundant industrial area of Barcelona into, well, via the building works done for the 1992 Olympics, into an extraordinary and vibrant new part of what was, of course, a traditional and long-established city. And his talk tonight is going to illustrate the way in which Barcelona's visionary urban policies in the 1980s and 1990s transformed that city, which I think it's fair to say probably more than any city in Europe has used design, architecture, and a style of presenting itself to the world in such a way that has enormously and radically changed its image for the good. Certainly in this country, I think it's fair to say, and in many others as well, architecture and design and the style of Barcelona have undoubtedly been associated so brilliantly with it that they've changed the image of the whole city. Rather more prosaically for us in Britain, looking just on the way here this afternoon, I looked at the Urban Task Force report, much discussed, commissioned by the UK government, and looking at the index for that, Barcelona, I notice, is referred to more frequently than Liverpool or Leeds. A measure, if ever there was one, of the extraordinary importance which I think to many architects and many urban designers in Britain this city now has for us. So if I can welcome our guest speaker, Oriol Bohigas, who's going to speak and then take some questions after.
Thank you
very much.
Good evening. Really, as you say, I am here to explain our urbanistic experience in Barcelona. But our experience in Barcelona, and at the same time to do some observations about the general problems, which are not only in Barcelona, but in general in a lot of European cities. But first of all, I want to do one or two observations. The first is a terrible one. The first is to say to you that I don't speak English. this is terrible, but it's true. And it's difficult to arrange now this problem. But I'll try to speak in this strange language, which is a mix of English, Spanish, and perhaps with Catalan pronunciation. but perhaps it will be possible to be communication. The second point is that I will talk about the general problems. And when I talk about the Barcelona, I must say that perhaps all the examples are not the best examples in the world, because you said that is a very important change of the image of Barcelona, but I think it's much interesting the method than the results. I can give a lecture saying that Barcelona is fantastic, everything is beautiful, and it will not be true, because there are a lot of things that are not fantastic, there are other problems that we have not resolved. But perhaps what is interesting is to comment, to talk about the way in which we have worked these last years. And the third, well, the third is more or less the same, to say that one thing is the methods, another thing is the results. But I have to show to you the results and to comment the methods. To begin, I want begin with a very ingenuous and very pretentious question, to begin with asking what is a city. This is a stupid question, because it's a question which is impossible to give an answer. But perhaps to approach, to arrive to the big problems, I can ask this question, what is a city, what is especially a European city? And perhaps I can say just with a very big approximation that for me a city, European city especially, is a place of programmed or random information and of access to a great variety of options. I mean, this is for me is a description of the physical qualities of the city. But I must recognize that these days the easier movement with alternative transport systems and the information technology offers a vast spectrum of information and accessibility. Then the second question is, can these systems create cities without a physical site? Will cities change radically because of this new technology, or will they be as they have always been? I remember interview of Renzo Piano in the television 2 or 3 years ago. It was someone who asked to Renzo Piano, how will be the city of the future? This is terrible, because it's the question that these last 2 years has been done to all architects in the world. And I like very much the answer of Renzo Piano, because he said, I think the city of the future will be to be like the Renaissance Italian city. He thought that the city will not change, because the city is a very important entity, physically and social entity, that if it changes, it's not a city. Perhaps we can find another thing which is not a city, but the city cannot change. The city will be always more or less the same, more or less the same structure, more or less the same social and physical structure. Reasons, well, I think to give reasons to a group of people who knows sociology and history much better than me is perhaps a little stupid. But one is that I think that the human beings has a trend to live all together for the anthropological reasons. I think it's impossible to live alone. And the capacity to organize a society is one of the characteristics of the human beings. But I think there is a second reason that I think is much more important, much more important, I don't know, but my more clear to understand, that we say that the new information technology, the internet, the telematic systems can substitute the capacity of information and accessibility, the traditional information and accessibility of the cities. But I think it's not true. I think it is very clear that it's not true for different several reasons, but there is one I think is very important. I think in the city there is the randomness. the randomness, the capacity to find something without searching it. The random information is not possible in it's not very clear in the technological systems, but it's very clear and very important in the cities. Sometimes we say that with information technology we search, but in the city we find. I remember a friend of mine who during the international exhibition in Sevilla, he decided to go to Sevilla to search, to find a new job, because he was in a situation, you know, a personal difficult situation. And he went to Sevilla. He was in Sevilla 6 months. He didn't find the job, but he met a beautiful girlfriend. And the result of this situation, his life changed a lot, because not the programmatic information, but the ransom information too. But if I say that for me the cities will be always the same, because I think it's impossible to improve the real social structure of the city, I must recognize that most of the our cities are sick because they have been treated very, very badly. The problem of the cars, the problem of the pollution, the center-periphery dichotomy, speculative territorial hierarchies, individual exploitation of the land, and so on. I think really this traditional structure of the city has been treated very bad in a lot of our European cities. Then the problem is to arrange it. The problem is not to invent another system and to eliminate the cities, and to imagine another system to live in an artificial community. No, the real problem is to arrange the cities, to repair the existing city, to use the technology to improve the quality of the city, but using the same qualities of the cities. But perhaps I am very exaggerated, and perhaps I like very much the cities, and perhaps it's not true that it's possible to save and to repair the cities. But I think for the moment it is still possible, and I think one of the problems we have to solve, politicians and planners and architects and engineers, we have to resolve the problem, the way to repair the existing city. Well, then I think it could be, but it's difficult to explain, it could be a special interpretation, a very broad interpretation of the sustainability. Because if you give things to transform, to improve, but not to eliminate, I think is one of the ways of the sustainability, not especially, not exclusively in the energy problems, but in the continuity of traditions and the reality of these communities. Then I try to do a very synthetic explanation, which is very difficult to resume, but which are the basis conditions for a city to continue being a city? It's very difficult to give an answer, but I try to give a very short answer and a very ingenious answer too. First, I think it's very important an appropriate degree of density. Second, to have spaces and functions appropriate to collective living. Third, creation or a straightening of identities that bond the social fabric. Four, development and modernization of communication in order that the other conditions may be sustainable. I think that the quality of urban life depends on the satisfactory attainment of these four conditions. Density, collective life, identities, and communications, and different ways of communication. Density. For me, a city is a consolidated, urbanized structure clearly separate from the country. A territory covered by buildings and urbanized open space constitute really the city. This, for me, is very important, especially in Mediterranean cities, perhaps more than in the Nordic European cities. The most important problem is to distinguish between city and not city, city and country. I am absolutely against this new model of the dispersed city, because I think the dispersed city is not really a city. It's a contamination between city and country. It's possible to live in this contamination, but the city is not this. The city is a very limited space in which the concentration and the density is quite clear. Without this density, it's impossible to have the information and the accessibility, which are the two most important characteristics of the urban structure. But if we accept that we need to put the new walls in the modern city and to attain a very adequate density, it means that one of the most important problems in the cities today is to have a control of territorial ground and control of the urban form. Second point, collective life. I think that the public space, open or built up, is really the city. The city is just the public space. It's not the architecture, it's not the dwellings, it's not the architectural elements who configure the reality of the city. The city is exactly the open space. But in order for the public space to be the container of collective life, it must be comprehensible and legible. So that the public space should be legible, the form of the city must have some relation with the traditional and very well-known structure. I think this is a very conservative or very reactionary point of view, but it's mine. I think the only way to understand, to give sign, real social sign to public space, if you can read this space, to understand this space, it's very important to have a reference to traditional space. I mean that the city, the modern city, as the old city, is a structure made by streets, squares, urban gardens, urban blocks. And I mean that the traditional forms are, in this moment, the only forms who can give the same capacity of collective life. When I talk about the traditional forms, I don't mean the formal models, the stylistic models. I mean of the continuity of these big, very important historical typologies. Another problem about the collective life is the problem of the homogeneity. For me, one of the most important problems in the collective life in the city is the space is not homogeneous. There is privileged spaces, and there are a distribution of the centrality absolutely heterogeneous. For me, this is a problem. We will see it in some Barcelona examples, but which is very, very important. I think that the traditional hierarchy must not be a social hierarchy. The territorial hierarchy must not be a social hierarchy, because the territorial hierarchy exists because of economical situations. But the most important for a new city, for a development of the city, is this territorial hierarchy must not be a social hierarchy. I think that in the city, the égalité is more important than the liberté. I mean, when I say liberté, the about the individual freedom. I think the city is not the place of liberté. Is the place of freedom, but not exactly liberté in the historical sense, because the contradiction between égalité and liberté, the city has resolved very well the problem. The priority is the égalité. The identities. Well, the social identity for a territory is fundamental for a collective life. I think perhaps we can discuss what is the identity, but as a first approximation, I think it's quite clear. But it's possible to have a global identity in a very big city, or not very big, but a big city. I think not. I think that the real collective identity has a very small dimension. And which is this dimension? When can you to understand a real identity in one social group? I think this is a very important problem, that to understand the city, not as a general system, but the addition of different systems, which are the neighborhoods or quarters or districts. It depends on the real structure of the city. For us, it has been very important, because attending this reason, we decide in Barcelona understand give interpretation of the city not as a whole, but as the addition of the different quarters. From the point of view of the planification, it's quite important, because we are absolutely against the master plans. The general master plans, I think, has been the most horrible things has been done in the modern Europe. The master plans are a way to give quantities, but in the seeing the globalization of the city, but without seeing the real identities in each quarter. For this reason, we decided not to do a master plan, but to do a different small architectural or urban projects, and to understand that the master plan is just the addition of all these small solutions. Perhaps we understand it in the slides. I think it's a little difficult to explain better, because my English is not enough, but especially because the theme is quite complicated to try to understand the identity of a city as an addition of different identities. And at the end, the communication. A certain size and a certain density are indispensable to urban life, we must accept, we must recognize that this density and this size can create difficulties, can create very important difficulties to the process of information and accessibility. I might say that the density and the size is a very important necessity of the city, but at the same time, these qualities give very important difficulties to development of the city. Then this is the moment to introduce the problem of the communication. We have to arrange all these problems of size and density with new technologies, and perhaps this is the most important point to understand what can do the technology, not to eliminate it, to substitute the city, but to add, to arrange, to reconstruct really the city. Well, I am afraid that is too. I insist that for me these four points are very important, and you have to know. You have to know that the.
It's not mine, eh?
Well, then I insist that the problem of the identity, the problem of communication, the problem of collective life, and the problem of the density are four very strong characteristics that you have to save in the modification and transformation of our cities. Well, then I try to begin to talk about Barcelona. I arrived to the municipality as a planning director in 1880. And then I have been 4 years in this position. And then me and my associates, we have been have done the direction of the Olympic Village and the other things in Barcelona. It means that we have been in this period with more or less active in different positions around the urbanism in Barcelona. And it was very, very important because it was in 80, just 3 or 4 years after the beginning of the democracy in Spain. When I had my first meeting with Narcís Serra, who was the first mayor of Barcelona, the first democratic mayor in Barcelona, we said, well, we have to invent the democratic urbanism and the Barcelona urbanism and what to do. We have not experience. And we have a lot of questions, and you talk about the different alternatives. We organized the urban theory, just distinguishing these alternatives and deciding what we will do one on the other one. It's it could be very interesting to explain with the detail, but I talk very quick the list of these alternatives. First of all, to do a new master plan or not to do it. We decided not to do it, to abandon the master plan and to begin with very small projects in order to be realized immediately. In 2 years, we did 150 projects, and the half of them was built. Second, we agree with the expansion of the city, or you think that the city must not be expanded and you have to just reconstruct the real city. We decided to reconstruct the real city, and we thought that the city must not be expansion, must be reconstructed in the real and the real identity. Second, territorial hierarchy or homogeneity, and it was the moment to go against the dichotomy between center and peripheria, and especially peripheria more than suburbs. Four, reconstruction of the city starting from the public spaces, or reconstruction starting from housing programs. Sure, starting from public space. The architecture is not the real city. The architecture is the elements who give the definition of the public space, and the reconstruction, the modification, the transformation of the city must begin in the public space, as I said before. It was a discussion that in this year was very important in all European universities, especially in Italy, where all these things are always in discussion. Discussion was very interesting because at the end they die in the discussion. But with the problem between planning and project is the consequence of the other points. But we decided that the most important thing is to project, to design things that could be made immediately, to avoid all the projects who cannot be made immediately. The velocity, to arrive to the construction is the only way in which people can understand what is the future, the city, and what is the way of modifications. There are a lot of reasons to explain it, but I think it's enough because we have not so time. And but for instance, the capacity to understand. I am sure that no citizen can understand one master plan. I don't understand the master plan. So when someone show me a master plan, I don't understand. I need 3 months to begin to understand something. And then the politicians, they give the master plans to the people, saying, "Oh, the general opinion, the participation of the people." This is absolutely is not true, because the people can understand one project for a square in front of his house, but no, it's impossible to understand the future and the difficult problems around the railways, about the big expansion in one quarter or another quarter. The problem which can be done to the participation is always a small problem. Well, there are others, the problem of the identity, the problem of the another problem that I think in this moment the urban planning or the control of the city must be not punitive and restrictive as has been until now. It must be productive and creative, and you have to do something to be built. And the general plan is not a thing to be built; it's just a thing to discuss, but to discuss in a very impossible ways. Well, and the last point was if it was better to use the bureaucratic structure of the city, of the civil servants in the city, or not to use them. We decided not to use them because they must. I don't know in other cities, but in other countries, but in Spain, all civil servants are really horrible, especially architects. No useful. They don't know anything. And then we decided to introduce the professors of the university. And another thing very interesting, we put 15 students of architecture to work, and we saw that the students are much better than their professors. Well, then I saw these slides. The first step, the first group, is the very small things we did at the beginning, in the 80, 81, 83, 84. Just small places, small squares, small arrangements. And then it was one very important moment in which we had the Olympic Games in 1992. It was one moment very interesting because the small experience has been converted in a more important, more big experience. This is two plans of Barcelona. This is, you can see here, is the Barcelona 87. It means after this beginning of transformations, but before the Olympic Games. And this is the last plan of Barcelona, in which there are the new proposals for the new structure of Barcelona, but the new change of Barcelona. No, I think so. It's possible to focus. No, perhaps just a very quick indication about the structure of Barcelona. Well, you can see this is the sea, and this is the point. This is a river, and this is another river. This is a very clear situation. Is this quite almost a square with mountain, sea, river and river, with the center, historical center, very clear, very, 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 sorry, very, very clear here. I thought it would be fantastic, this minution. This is the small part, very close to the historical center, which is very interesting because it was a Spanish fortification. And in the 18th century was demolished. Now is a park which is the Catalan Parliament. It's a transformation very strong. Then this is the center, the Roman center. This is the first medieval city, and this is the second medieval city. And this is very important to explain that in the middle of the last century, it was this big project. In 1865. This big project made by engineer Cerdà, which is the biggest 19th century structure in Europa. I mean, designed the structure with a very strong proposals of the geometry and the homogeneity of social users. And then you can see here the others all cities which has arrived to be included in the expansion of Barcelona. But now we think that really Barcelona is more or less this, and we think that it cannot be expanded. It can be just to aggregate, to have a strong relation with the other small cities in the periphery, but not to with we all of us, we have tried to put in the inside the Barcelona all the elements to finish the transformation of the city. Next. Then I try very quick because it's just to give the image, this small transformations in the 80s. It was a block all built in the middle of the old city, and we demolished, because I think one of the most important things in the reconstruction of the city is not to reconstruction, is to demolish. And it has been one of the very clear and I think very very good demolitions. And this is a square which seems to be a 19th century square, because all the buildings that existed are all buildings in this period. I must recognize that when we demolish things, we have the opposition of some part of the people, because there is always this romantic imagination that you have not the demolish, you have conserved. And well, at the beginning it was all good, but at the end this house was the last demolition, and when it was finishing, it was a little revolution in the quarter, because they said that they had not to demolish this building. And they say why? Because Picasso was using this space here, because it was a very famous house of prostitution, and they want to conserve this to say here Picasso was passed three nights with the name of the girl. But at the end we decided to demolish in one day. We demolish, not well, demolish all, and you put here, I don't know, it's not here, a little bunch with a name saying that Picasso has passed some nights in this part. Next. Another very, very typical structure is this is very, you will find very frequent these points in the big cities, in which the house has the rights, but the organization no. Just this very small and modest thing has changed very, 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 very clear the structure and the identity and the mentality of the old people who are living in this quarter. Next. Well, this has been very successful. This was a peripheric quarter, a peripheric district, with this house very popular, and with this big space in the middle without use. And it was a very conflictive quarter. And then when I say we, I mean we in Barcelona, not in the personal description. It was built this big square with some spaces for services, with this lake, with this garden, and this square, and the quarter has changed a lot. For the first time, all these people who are living here begin to understand that it was a new community. Next. Or for instance, this space in the middle of the, as you can see, very degraded fabric industrial area. It was the beginning of one operation that we show some slides, that to use sculptures instead planners. This project is made by the American sculptor Richard Serra, and you can see that the idea of a sculpture. And I think it's a good way because I think the sculpture can give more identity to the work and to give identity to the people who are living there. Well, identity, very complicated identity, because when we explain to all these people that the best American sculptor will come to do a sculpture, they were very, very, very glad. But when the sculpture, when they see that the sculpture was this, they're not very, very, very excited. They begin to say, where will be the sculpture? Here or here? Or but at the end, they are very, very glad, and this is a new source of identity of this quarter. Next. Or for instance, this street, which was not a street, and now is this, I think, is very beautiful avenue. Next. This is the same another part of the same avenue, which we can explain because it's one point in which it was impossible to plant trees, and this is another way to put the new sculpture. This is a sculpture by Plensa. Next. Or, for instance, this, I think, is one of the slides I like more, because it's nothing. This is nothing, but it was nothing. It was a disaster. But just doing these stairs and to put this pavement, all this quarter has changed in the sense that they are they understand they are living in one site with name and with special characteristics. Next. And this is what do you say in English? Sherry? No, not sherry. Where we take the stone for
quarry.
And it was absolutely abandoned, and we project this public space, so it worked very well with a swimming pool, you can see, and with a beautiful sculpture by Chilida, and I think this I like very much. First, to arrange a landscape which was really abandoned. Then to give a new public use, and then to give a presence of two important sculpture to give a name to the site. Next. Or, for instance, this big garden, it was the result of to eliminate on Chemin de Fer, on Ferrovia, and the train, the railway. I think it was a competition was won by an architect, a young architect in Barcelona, and is one of the space with more life and without not very rich materials, but with a very good design. Next. This is the same, a part of the same park, and this is a sculpture by Brian Hahn in the rest of a structure of the railway. Next. And going on with this way of new sculpture, it is the first sculpture we put in the Barcelona in 81, I think. 82. It is a monument to Picasso, made by the Catalan artist Antoni Tàpies. Next. Perhaps this is the most ambitious, one of the most ambitious projects, and I show it to explain that what was the method to arrive to this project is designed. This is one of the more the power part of the old city, especially this part of the center. And then we did, the author of is the architect Soust, a project of the design of all the quarter. I'm afraid it's not so clear because the diapo is not good, but I would like to explain just that the problem was not to give so square meters, so use, So zonification, no. The problem is to say after this building, perhaps it would be good to go to do a little square, or perhaps to demolish this block. It's possible to do this new building. I say I would like to explain that the reconstruction of the city is a real formal problem. It's a problem to design the form of the city, because the planners, they don't design the city. They write the quantity, the users, the problems, which are not real formal architectural problems. I think that for in Europe for a lot of time, the planners, the lawyers, the economics, and well, and a lot of these kind of techniques has worked too much in planification. We need that to go back to use the architects and the engineers to design the city, because the profession to design is a very special profession. This is not the profession of the planners and economical professionals. No, next. And in the middle, as a consequence of this plan, we have done the new building for a museum, a museum of contemporary art, sent by Meller, and the new center of arts by Pignoni Via Plana. Next. Or the new sculpture, this is the result of the demolition of the new block, Cristoful and Chilida. Next one. Well, and then we arrive to this moment in which in which arrived the possibility to have the Olympic Games in the 92. Well, we saw very clear that the Olympic Games is a sportive event, but for us was not a sportive event. It was an excuse to change some aspects of the city, to give a very strong urban policy. Then the politicians, and first Narcís Serra, then Maragall, and then a group of technicians, they decided to put the areas of Olympic Games in these 4 points. Why? Because there were 4 special problems. The problem of the sea, the problem of this mountain near the sea, the problem of the continuity of the elements near the mountain, and then that we could imagine a line giving this square, and we thought that the to work in this square was a way to change very 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 well the structure of the city, because all these points are in the limit between the consolidated city and dispersed city. Someone has said that perhaps just these 4 lines is a real master plan, because really in Barcelona everybody has worked going on this very strong urban structure. Then I try to show several things in this itinerary, perhaps without possibility to explain with detail, but just to indicate the change, the coordinated change in all these structures. This is the first part here, that is a sportive concentration. Next. But if you go through this itinerary, you can see the velodrome, but the velodrome is not just the element to resolve the exhibition of one sport. It's the way to organize a very interesting space, very very near, in which the country has been converted in a part of the city. Next.
or, for instance, the reconstruction of the Spanish pavilion in the exposition of 1937 in Paris, which is a very interesting building because it was the first public action of the Spanish Republic during the Civil War. And very near to finish the new ambience is this magnificent sculpture of Oldenburg, Nix. Or, for instance, in the same line near the mountain, this sculpture by, this is the new urbanism of this part, this sportive part that now is a beautiful part, and with the Susana Solano sculpture, and you know very well, the communication tower by Norman Foster. Next. Or he was a part of the city occupied by the what I don't know the
slaughterhouse.
Yes, it was eliminated Abitur. And then it has been converted in a beautiful garden made by architect Bert Galí with this big sculpture by Miró, which is the last work made by the sculpture. Next. This is another aspect of this garden. I think it's it's a garden in which there is first the interest how in the center of the city can be built a garden like this, and the other the architectural accent in the same garden design. Next. Or this big square in front of the new terminal station made by Via Plana y Piñón, which I think it has been the beginning of the new Barcelona style. I think it was the first square in which the style was different from the others, the other architecture in the public space, not only Barcelona, but in all Europe. And I think when somebody talk about the new stylistics elements in Barcelona, everybody talk especially about this place, this square, just like that. I think it's a beautiful one. Next. This is one of the elements in this place. And this is another place close to this one. It's a square, a garden made in the after the demolition of the old industrial establishment. Next. This is the old garden. Next. And another theme very sentimental and very nostalgic is the reconstruction of the Mies van der Rohe pavilion in Montjuic. It was the pavilion made by the German government in the 29, and it was destroyed. It has been reconstructed exactly in the mountain of Montjuic. I think this problem of history, identity, and nostalgia are very, very important in the collective participation to transformation of the city. Next. Or in the mountain of Montjuic, the new sportive installations, when Gregotti, Correa Milà, Isosaki, and so on. Next. We have the reconstruction of the old stad, but the problem was not to reconstruct the stad. The problem was to construct a new public space, because the public space, as we have seen so many times, is really the city. And now it was not a city, now it is a city because the public space is designed as a new centrality. Now, next. Oh, well. It would be beautiful. It was more beautiful than you can imagine as a vertical building. Next, please. And to finish, I have to show the end of this itinerary. It is the seafront of Barcelona. It has been the most important transformation, I think, because Barcelona was a Mediterranean city, but without Mediterranean, because it was impossible to arrive to the sea, because it was the railways, the industrial area obsolete, the most horrible installations of the city. And then the transformation has been to arrange all this lane. Here is the Olympic Village. Here is the Montjuïc. We have seen the area sportive. And then all this way is new front of Barcelona. And now Barcelona is really a city with a seafront very, very alive. We try to explain this very quick. This is the transformation of the all harbor that now is a sportive harbor, which is begin with this sculpture of Liechtenstein. Next, or to change all this. This is the sport. It was the harbor installations, and now is a beautiful landscape. Next. All the new buildings in the middle of the port, like this center commercial by this bridge made by Via Plan Epignon, or this one made by COP, next. Or in this very old and very power quarter to put the new sculptures, especially I like very much these two. This is Cunelis. And this is Mario Merz, new, next. Or the one I like still more, this the other seafront was full of this kind of provisional structure with very horrible restaurants, very typical, and a lot of people they like very much, but it was a real degradation. You can see one of these. And all of this has been demolished. But the American sculptor Rebecca Horn has built this sculpture as a homage to the destroyed Capannoni. Next. And to end, it is the Olympic Village. The Olympic Village is built in this triangle, full of all industries, with. Not a river, it was a detritus of the water of the city, with a railway here, another railway here. It was really a ghetto, a degraded ghetto. Then you can see the image of this quarter, and the solution was to demolish all this part and to design the new Olympic Village. Next. Well, it's difficult to explain exactly the. Not difficult. It's too long. Explain the urban reasons for this design, and especially what is more difficult to explain the method for the managing to manage all this operation. Well, the first is quite clear. Is that it tend to continue to go on with the streets, with the traditional streets, and to build the new blocks, but bigger and another scale in relation of the older scale. I think the result has been very clear, because the streets are the continuity. It's a very traditional city in order to understand the streets and the squares and the gardens. But at the same time, the typology are absolutely different, because the scale, as you can see, is very different from the scale of the traditional settlements. Perhaps what is interesting, I try to the management. I try to rate it very quick. First, the city council commissioned. The urban project to a group of architects, first thing, to plan and to design. Second, then the city council bought all the sites for land assembly, first thing, to be owner of the land.
Then the city council built all the public spaces, including streets, gardens, parks, and services, and commissioned the projects of the buildings to 30 architects under our supervision. No, I think it's quite important, because one of the problems of this big urban operation is that if all the buildings are made by the same architects, it's a problem, because the quality and the character of the city is not good. Then it was imposed to commission to 30 architects small parts of the village. Then the sites and projects were sold to private investors. Then the private investors built the dwellings and offices, and after they sold them at market rates. In theory, this operation didn't cost anything to the city council, with the exception of the Greek metropolitan infrastructure. But the authority was always in the hands of the administration. I think it's very important for that. Is at the end the money comes from the private investors, but the authority is always the municipality, the architects, the financial structure, and the planners, and the landscapers are all commissioned by the administration. Well, and I pass very quick the other slides. Can you? Is the model, and this is the reality. Next. You can see that the quarter is, in this moment, a real quarter, absolutely alive. It's not a quarter like a ghetto. It has arrived to be in real connection with the whole city with these new implantations. Next. Next. Next, this is one of the things I like more in Olympic Village, is a pergola made by Enric Miralles, who is a very good young architect who died 2 months ago. Next. I think the relation between city and sea is quite clear. It works very well. You can see that the participation of different architects, you can see that the whole architecture is more or less in the same regulation, but is always with a personal participation of the architects. Next. The sculpture by Tony Lena. Next. And a very quick vision of the harbor, of the sportive harbor, and always the same. The harbor has been made to a special sportive action. But the reality is the new center of the city. All this part, all this, all the port is built in two floors, two levels. One is a very sportive level, and another one is a urban level with a big restaurants and a space to give a new utility for the city, with these two towers as the gate of the city, and with the continuity of all these new quarters that you can see that is belongs really to the city, and it open the city to the new structure in the sea. Next. Well, this is a very beautiful object made by Fangeri. Next. The school, the Nautica School, the administration of the harbor, I think it is next. Well, then just to finish, I would like to, lights perhaps, when you can, okay. No, I think, just to finish, I would like to go back to the social and politic problems in the cities, and especially in this operation of Barcelona. I think that to do all this, especially to realize all the objectives we have talked about in the first part of the lecture, we need to have a conscious of the second things. First, the control, the use, I mean, to organize the city, to control the expansion and the reconstruction of the city, we need at least these seven things. First, control. We need to control the use of the land in accordance with the collective needs of the community, rather than sacrificing this to individual economic interests. Second, to limit the consolidated city, maintaining the appropriate density and avoiding the spirit of speculation that degraded those spaces that are still virgin. Third, distribute homogeneously the centralities in order to overcome the center-periphery dichotomy and the social differences with the territory itself. Four, impose the design of the space intended for collective life as the formal framework for the city. Five, perceive the city as a sum of neighborhoods, each of which is the scenario of a collective identity. Six, to impose a general planning approach on the basis of individual urban projects and specific solutions. Seven, impose systems of communication, information and accessibility that overcome the modern urban sicknesses resulting from the necessary scale and density in other words, to make the urban phenomenon sustainable. And to finish, I think these are the policies or the political ideas we need to organize in this way a modern city. Because at the end, I think that all these actuations, all this realization belongs to the politics. Sometimes we say that the city is made by planners, by architects, by engineers. No, the city is, and all of them are created, imagined, and built by the politicians. Politicians as more or less representative of the will of the citizens. But then it means that the policies are very important. But what kind of policy? Not all policies are good for a city. There are policies who arrive to destroy the cities, and policies who arrive to improve the cities. I think that the survival of the city will be dependent on the overall control over and above individual freedom of all of the factors we have noted here. It follows that it is not possible to maintain the life of the city with a neoliberal and urban policy. I am sure that all these conditions are practically impossible if you use a neoliberal political ideas, and especially neoliberal economical ideas, because the city is not neoliberal. The city is a very clear imposition of a design commanded by the politics. Because I think at the end, then the control of the evolution of the city, like of course in the similar areas of education and health care, is too important to be left in the hands of the market. I think it is for me a good statement to finish this lecture and to insist that for me a city is always a socialist approach. It's not a neoliberal position, it's not a neoliberal preposition. Thank you very much.
Well, I'm happy to say we do have a few minutes for questions, and Oriol Bohigas has agreed to address a few, perhaps. So if you could come back, and our excellent translator can come and help us here with any linguistic, though, frankly, I'm now unconvinced that this is necessary. But anyway, I must say, your creed de coeur at the end for the against the neoliberal city. It's fascinating to come to London of all places and say that. This most neoliberal of European cities from Barcelona, which, as you've just said, relied on virtually the opposite principles. Now, I shall take questions, as it were, from left to right. So perhaps starting there, there is a microphone, which is amazing. We've got telephones that ring, and let's hope we have a microphone that works. Perhaps you could say who you are and roughly where you come from, if you'd like to, just so we know.
I'm chair of a residents association where urban planning is current. How, please, did you convince the people that what you created for them was good for them?
Well, if I understood,
but this is the general problem about the popular participation. I think because it's very difficult to know exactly what is the real reaction of the people. In one urban new organization. It's very difficult because one way, some politicians, they say that the way is to consult, to put the project in public information, but we know that it's not true. Nobody can understand one project. Nobody knows when the information is open or is not open. And then if they give the opinion, most of times the opinion is a mistake, because it's quite impossible. First, there is a very general problem in urban planning and urban designs. This is the same problem in the art in general. It's impossible to organize a museum with a referendum saying everybody who is the best artist. You can do it, but it's sure that it will be the worst museum in the world. Then it could happen in the urban planning too. In urban projects, because most of the most beautiful projects, most modern projects in the other cities, are projects which have been a very strong revolution, and the revolution is not accepted in a popular and normal referendum. Good time, okay. Things, but I think.
Okay, thank you. Chat there, and then.
If there is no master plan, I think the nightclubs will be in the houses with a lot of noise at midnight, 2 o'clock. I think that the heavy lorries will give the food, the vegetables, through houses. What else? I think motor car, automobile repair shops will be there making noise and smell. I dislike master plans, but I thought we had to have them to protect areas from big transport, noise, smells.
You're not there's not a kind of confusion between master planning and sort of local zoning. You think that the master plan would embrace those issues as well?
Well, I'm thinking of the Greater London Plan of 1944, or the planning of, where's that place, Islamabad. Which happily was overridden by the corruption of the politicians. Islamabad is much more fun than it was planned. Master plans, I thought, included zoning?
Well, let's ask. Sorry.
No, I don't know if you understand well, but I think that this is a reason for being against the master plan. Because all these problems is impossible to resolve and never study in a structure of the master plan. The problem of the noise, the problem of the, even the problem of the big transport, the public transport, it must be resolved as an isolated problem. To give a normative for noises is one problem that is not a urban problem. It's a problem of the city. It means it's a problem which can participate more things than only the urbanistic mentality. I think all the problems that you talk about, I think if I understood well, is they can be resolved without master plan. And contrary, with the master plan, it's more difficult to resolve this problem. The problem must be resolved in a local solutions, in a local designs or political normatives.
There's a chance for that there.
Yeah.
We can't hear. Sorry.
I'm just interested as to where you personally think architects should aim in terms of striking a balance between imposing and accommodating lifestyles. Si quieres traduzco. Que estaba interesado en dónde tú crees los arquitectos deben conseguir el balance entre imponer y acomodar los estilos de vida. Porque según lo que dijiste al final, estarías más a favor a imponerlo.
Sí. Not exactly to impose the new way of life, but to impose the technical or the urban solutions to this way of life. So I think the design of the urban design cannot change the way of life, but it can do. What it can do is to give the form to one way of life, which will be imposed with another program or with a political program. I don't think the it's possible to impose a political program, but the urban design must realize this political program in one way in which the participation cannot be in the hands of the private investors. Because when a city decides to be, for instance, to be limited or to have a very important maritime sea activity, and then you need someone to organize physically this program. But if this organization is give to the hands of the owners of the soil, of the land, the constructors of the buildings, it changes absolutely, because it begins this strange idea that the chaos and the private interest are priority in respect of the community interest, which has been done by the political ideology. I mean, to design a city means to design the consensus or the general idea about the future of the city. A general idea can be made through the collectivity, not through the private interest, which is the idea of the neoliberalism, which has done the very strong results in a lot of cities, but against the cities. Because, for instance, the chaos is perceived in the surroundings of the city in the periphery is a result of this. Why people can build in one point in which is quite impossible or very expensive to arrive the electricity and the water? Why before to give the freedom to build in some points the collectivity don't study and don't limit this possibility? Thinking in a collective reasons much more important than the personal reasons. When I want to say that the city must be directed by a community, and this community must not be in absolute individual freedom, because this community with individual freedom is not a community. But I think it's a little exaggerated, but.
Perhaps you can come back later, but let's just take one or two more, because we have some time constraints. So, gentlemen here.
Thank you. This is a very impressive picture indeed, very impressive. But I would like to ask you, first of all, how long did this reconstruction take? Is it finished? How much did it cost overall? And did you get any government from the Ayuntamiento of Barcelona or Catalan or Spanish government?
Well, if it is finished, no, it is not finished. It is not finished for the reason I think in the beginning of the lecture I said that the results I can explain that they are beautiful, but I can say that more of them are not finished, or there are a lot of new needs. A city is never finished. It's a continuity to raise, to reconstruct, to invent new things. For instance, now is a new moment for this continuity, because in Barcelona we have the idea that we cannot improve the city if you have not one aim more specific. For instance, the international exhibition in the 29, for instance, the Olympic Games. And now the city has invented a very strange thing, which is the Forum de las Culturas for the year 2004. And I think this is a year to arrange the continuity of the seafront. But this is quite strange. You need something to give a empuje, I don't know what each time. Then, which is the, if I understood well, you talk about the, or you ask about the participation of the different governments. I think this is a very clear operation of the municipality, with some subvention, participation of the central government and governor of the Catalonia, but the real idea, the real empuje is the city. And I think there is a very clear collective conscience in this process.
Okay, one there and then further to.
I was struck by the extent to which you have curtailed the motor vehicle. In view of the earlier remarks about master plans and zoning, I wonder to what extent you've achieved this through sort of designing out, as it were, the motor vehicle, or redesigning space for it in some way.
If I understood, you talk about the problem of the cars, no? Of the well, this is. Well, I think it's one. When I say that the there are a lot of cities that I seek. One of the sickness is the presence, the excessive presence of the cars in the city. This is one of the big problems I think in the cities. Because the cities, because there is a contradiction between the density and the communication between people and the presence of the cars in the middle of this kind of this type of communication. It can be a very long discussion about cars, yes or cars not. First, I think that the
to use the cars in the old cities, in the special old cities, is quite impossible, because it's really the destruction of the city, because the city is not an instrument to be used by cars. But then, what to do? I think my solution is to arrive at a balance between cars and pedestrians. Because I am against the zone only for pedestrians, and I am against the zone only for cars. I think this community is quite good, but with very strong limitations. This last time, the Barcelona have done a very interesting thing, is to reduce the space for the cars, to reduce a more strict space, and to enlarge the trottoir, the space for pedestrians, but not to exaggerate the zonification between pedestrians and cars. I think at the end, the limitation of the space for cars is much good for the same cars. It's much better to give a space for one car instead to give a space for two cars, then the street arrive to be space only for one. Well, I think it's very difficult to explain that. But I think the fight against the car is very important. But thinking then in our situations, it's impossible to eliminate it, because it's impossible to have public transportation big as to can be able to be able to eliminate the private circulation. We are now doing a study for a small city in Italy, Salerno. We try to arrive to a scheme in this way.
Right. Take one. It's now 7:30, so I'll take one more question, and then I think we must draw to a close.
I wanted to know how the four sectors that were pinpointed for the Olympics were linked together, and if new infrastructure was necessary to insert for them.
So.
Yes, this is a good question, because I would like very much to explain with more detail. Yes. Really, this is. I remember one day in a lecture in Italy. It was a lecture against the master plan, and saying that the best solution is to do just the points at the end, I designed it in a black book and put these 4 points and say, well, but what is very important is the union of this line with this other, with these elements to give a centrality. And then to the other one, which is really a new commercial center, very important, a linear center, very important. And then the sea front, and then the other one, which is the pass through the Plaza de las Glorias, which had to be the center of Barcelona, but it has not never been. And then I explained all these elements, and at the end I designed all these things in the, and it was a very intelligent planner, because all my lecture was against the planners, and it was one of the chief of the planners in Italy. He come, he take the paper, and say, well, you are wrong, because it is a master plan. Because here's right. Perhaps the problem of the master plan is that they give too many details. But perhaps this big idea can be a master plan for immediate action. And it is true, because one of the elements which passes through the 4 spaces is the big new circumvallation, the new freeway. Which is not a freeway, but is a relation between different quarters. And the other, the verticals, there are two, in this moment, the two new lines of centrality, that the centrality is in the middle, that is expansion of the centrality. I think it is a very interesting exercise. But really, these 4 lines are 4 lines that they exist, not always in one street, but one street or a place or another street is a line we can walk and understand this this change of the city.
Can we take a last
Oh, why not? You, I think you deserve it just for that.
I came all the way from upstairs.
From where?
Yes, is it true what many people say in Barcelona, that you've been opposing the following of the building of the Sagrada Familia? And if so, in which grounds, please? Thank you.
A local one there, I think. And what better way to finish? Well, I'm sure you wanted to come all this way.
The Sagrada Familia is not the best project by Gaudí. It's really not the best one, because the best works by Gaudí are La Pedrera, Palacio Güell, Parque Güell, etc. But the problem, probably in this moment, that the project of Gaudí was finished when he died. And now there are a group of horrible architects who are working and doing a very anti-Gaudí architecture, because they are doing a very scenographic imitation of the Gaudí that is a disaster. But the problem is the Japanese they like very much, and they come all day, a lot of money, of Japanese money, to finish the Sagrada Familia, and I think in 100 years it will be finished.
Does it not have anything to do with the fact that the architect yourself for a long time?
No. I think we'll draw a veil at this moment, as we are overrun the end of the lecture. I just like, on all of our behalf here this evening, to thank Oriol Bohigas for coming from Barcelona to share with us an extraordinary series of insights, really, on how a city with a particular opportunity, and I think it's clear that Barcelona is interesting because of the particular opportunity it had re-emerging into democracy with enormous sort of civic community willing to work in a single direction, which I think does provide enormously life-enhancing lessons for Britain's larger cities, particularly those perhaps outside London, which can see lessons from Barcelona that really are enormously encouraging. For those of us in London, Barcelona provides, and this point was made very clearly at the end, a fascinating and extraordinary example of a city which has been reconstructed on almost exactly the opposite principles to which those to which London normally runs on. And they're both successful cities, so that's interesting for us all to observe. So perhaps I can just finally thank all of you for coming here this evening, but particularly, and for one third and final time, thank our speaker this evening for coming and so enormously enhancing this series of lectures. Thank you very much. For those of you who are regulars at these events, there is now a reception on the fifth floor, which gives you a chance to walk up the stairs to get there. And can I finally just finish by saying that there is another lecture in this series on the 6th of December, where Professor Ed Soger will be speaking. So please, as many of you as possible, come back then. It's a week today. Thank you very much.